from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Sheridan Show.
You know, I was noticing that letter that you got regarding our stance on dispensationalism.
Yeah, I know. What a letter that was.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people out there, they call us dispensationalists, and they mock the idea of this secret rapture and all that other stuff. And all the arguments are funny, and they all go back to the same thing. You guys don't preach a simple gospel. And this man who wrote you a letter regarding our dispensationalism couldn't even tell you what the gospel was and all that garbage he wrote. It was the most, what can I say? When I read that, I wanted to go, let me just say, a dispensationalist, somebody who understands administrations in the scripture, has good news. We can go right out and say that the good news is regarding Christ's death, entombment, and resurrection. We have a specific gospel. And let me just say this again for our listeners. If you do not rightly divide the word of truth, you will either come to a passage of Scripture that you will ignore or modify. And that letter was full of modifications and ignoring. In other words, when Paul says our citizenship is in heaven, and you're the writer of that letter, mock the idea of us, would he compare us to the Jehovah Witnesses or something? Mm. Oh, you want to have this celestial realm or something like that. Well, Paul says heaven, and the Lord Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, if heaven and earth are the same thing, we're not the ones who are being too complicated. Because you have to start a university and hire professors to teach you that heaven and earth are the same thing. Black and white are the same color. Yellow and brown are the same color. Heaven and earth are the same place. Jesus and Satan are the same people. Why not? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. If it's all the same thing, let's just go here. Let's ask the ladies out there. If you're at home listening to this show, go to your cupboard right now and take all the materials. Take your vanilla extract. Take the sugar, brown sugar, olive oil. What are some other items in there? Salt, pepper, oregano.
Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts, Special K, Cocoa Puffs. And cheese, and throw it all in a blender, and that's the gospel of the so-called covenantalists, or the postmillennialists, or the amillennialists. It's all the same. So the teaching of right division is not a line of interpretation. It has to do with the character of God. If God doesn't say what he means and means what he says, we can't believe anything. And that's what the importance of the teaching of dispensational truth. And I'm using that term now, Martin. I know you don't like the word dispensational for accommodation for the moment. We'll correct some things in a little bit.
And we're also going to, hi folks, we're also going to share this letter with you, but we're going to do it after we teach on the different dispensations and administrations in the Word of God. You don't have to be a genius to see these things. And as evidence of that, Sheridan and I both see it.
That's exactly right. And by the way, it is the covenant theologians, it's the amillennialists and the postmillennialists are the ones who set up the school system. They're the ones who set up the seminary system that goes all the way back to the Dark Ages. You had to go through their line of teaching and learn their. You don't have to learn the scriptures. You have to learn a catechism. You have to learn a 50-page catechism to understand the so-called gospel. They're the ones who made it complicated. Those who understand and teach dispensational truth are the common folks who study the Word of God without the help of PhDs and without the help of seminaries. We don't need them for that.
This Freudian slip there.
There we go. Sorry for the But some things need to be addressed in this way, because I know this argument's going on a long time, and the so-called dispensationalists don't know how to answer because they're too busy trying to maintain their the modern dispensationalists, the American dispensationalists are the churchy folks, which don't even teach dispensationalism anyways. They just go by name.
And for anybody out there who at this point is wondering, what in the world is a dispensationalist or a postmillennialist or an amillennialist? I don't even know what an amillennialist, postmillennial. You know me, folks. I don't like these theological terms.
I don't either.
But we're going to break them down for you this week. We're going to break down these terms, and we're going to show you, as we ended last week, we're going to pick up there now. We're going to show you that these are very, very simple. They're not even concepts. They're realities. And one of the examples I gave last week, I'm going to give it again today to introduce you to this topic, is found in John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law through Moses was given, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Simple statement. Did grace and truth come through law? Was grace and truth dispensed necessarily at the time of the law? Not in the measure it was dispensed under Jesus Christ. There was a time for law through Moses. God gave the law through Moses, and he gave grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Was Jesus Christ alive on earth at the time of Moses? No. Was Moses alive on the earth at the time of Jesus Christ? No. God does different things at different times. That's what dispensationalism is that God gives different things to mankind at different times, and he changes those things as time goes
How
on.
How dare you say that?
And
you
there's
know,
a reason he does it.
Oh, wait a minute. You know what they always tell me? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah,
he doesn't change his ways. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You heretic, dispensationalism is heresy. How do you answer that?
Which sector of hell do you want me to go to?
Yeah, something
that's how
like
I
that.
Answer. You know how I answer that?
Yeah.
God never changes. That's true. We believe that verse. But as he presents himself to man, who is a little ant, a little pea brain upon the earth, man needs spoon fed.
Exactly.
And when we, you know, if I were to walk into a room and there's a little baby there, and I walk up to the bassinet and I go, oh, that little baby, baby, baby. And somebody happens to walk past the door. They don't see the bassinet. They just hear Martin Zender in there going, oh, that little cool, baby, baby. They go out and tell everybody, Martin Zender's an idiot. He can't even talk right. He's a big baby. He doesn't. And so they missed the whole thing, didn't they? Well, when God is coming on the scene in Genesis, for instance, this is Adam, where art thou? I now have scripture that proves God doesn't know everything. He asked Adam where he was. Did God know where Adam was? Yes. Why did he ask then? For the sake of pea brain Adam, to help him confront his own sin. And so
that's a great illustration, because you don't talk to a baby by reading him Shakespeare.
No,
you
don't
know.
No, no.
So, the point. Going back to the point, this is important stuff that we're talking about here, this teaching. And you pointed out that God has revealed himself piecemeal in Scripture. All you have to do is read the Bible to see that. See,
yes, it's very evident.
It
obvious.
Only gets confusing when you spend your time reading systematic theologies.
And I don't even know what that is. What is systematic theologies?
It's not much. It is man's books to promote his church's doctrine.
You know what?
Sprinkled with a few scriptures.
You know what is so awesome? To just shovel through that BS and get to the simple fact that God does different things at different times. And I got
to... And here, just as
go ahead.
Point, one of the things in that letter that wrote against our teaching that we're about to teach you over the next days or weeks, however long it's going to be, is he points out that this is not orthodox, that it's not historical. And it's that's what humanists always do. They go back to the church fathers and humans. They always go back to what's in the historical stuff, historical church. If that's the case, we should all go back to Rome. Why not? That's historical. The answer is not what it's taught in history. The answer is what does the Scripture say?
I knew you were going to say that. I love it when you talk like that.
What does the Scripture say? Now listen, you and I... we have no system, no steeples, No church bells, no baptistries, nothing to join. We're members of the body of Christ.
That's right.
And so no one can accuse us of swelling the ranks of some denomination.
No, that's right. And we're not getting rich off anybody, at least not that I know of.
So there's a big distinction. So as I go back to the beginning of this teaching is this glorifies God and gives Christ his right place. The thing that right division does, or correctly cutting the word of truth, this is the most important thing about correctly cutting, is it puts Christ in his scriptural place.
And the reason you out there need to know this, you say, why do I need to know this? Isn't it just enough to love God? Why do I have to understand that God does different things at different times? Because if you don't understand that, you're going to pick up the Bible, and you're going to look at the title of that thing. It's going to say the Holy Bible. Well, this is God's Word, so I'm just going to open it randomly, pick any passage, and I'm going to read it, and it's going to apply to me today, and it's going to be what I have to do today. That is the worst thing you can do. You're almost better off not reading anything than to go to a portion of the scriptures that was meant and written to another people for another time. We believe that the scripture is inspired by God, but as the book of Hebrews says, chapter 1, verse 1, I laid this on you last week, I'm going to refresh your memory here, by many portions and many modes of old, God, speaking to the fathers and the prophets, in the last of these days speaks to us in a son. Wow, God must be a dispensationalist. In the old days, he spoke through the prophets. Today, he speaks through a son. He changed his ways with man, didn't he? And if you're going to go back and read through the prophets and apply that to your life, it's not going to work.
I got one. I just found a verse. I just opened a verse, and I'm going to put in practice today. You ready?
You go for it.
I'm going to go by our friend's letter, and I'm going to be a covenantalist. You ready?
Okay.
I'm going to put this in practice today. You ready?
Yeah.
Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. All those without Christ today, I hate them.
What verse is that?
I don't know. I just closed my Bible.
That was in the Psalms?
It was in the Psalms.
Yeah, it was in the Psalms.
And why
is
not?
That the way? Why not? It's in the Bible.
Well, sure.
Hate your enemies. David hated his enemies. We should hate ours.
So Paul was wrong, and so was the Lord Jesus when he says, love your enemies.
Something changed, ladies and gentlemen.
And God didn't change.
God didn't change, but he changed. And there's a reason. We're going to show you why God does different things at different times. This is Monday. Tomorrow, we're going to define our terms. We're going to show you that dispensation is a 2-cent Greek word. It's a cheap paper bag Greek word they pulled out. It just means to give. And we're going to show you that by passages in the scripture. We're going to go to divine contexts, and you're going to see that this subject is not complicated. It's easy, but there's no better thing to know in order to understand what God is doing today and not to commit the crime of taking what doesn't belong to you. Because if you do that, you're going to be confused. You're going to either think there's something wrong with God or there's something wrong with your faith.
Or you're going to alter it.
Or you're going to alter
it. Or ignore it.
Or you're going to ignore it. What else are you going to do?
You're
going to become religious. Ooh, that's the ultimate terrible thing. We don't want you to become religious,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen.
We want you to have freedom in Christ.
That's right.
And God makes sense. Man only confuses it. That's the key.
God makes sense. Man only confuses it. On that epic note, we're going to close today, but we'll be back tomorrow, and we hope you're here with us. Thanks.